You are listening to the Boker Broadcast, a War Machine and Hordes podcast centered on the NJSOB meta. Sit back and take a listen as we discuss fluff, the rules, or anything else that catches our attention. Special thanks to the More Than Dice Podcast Network for hosting the podcast. Don't think play, the new podcast. Look at that. Eight. Yes, we are on number 9. Well done. And welcome to episode 9 of the Boker Broadcast. I am Seth Cohen, and with me, as always, is...
Steven Rabideau.
And...
that random guy.
That random guy, RDC. Thank goodness he is here with us tonight. It has been entirely too long since we have podcasted, gentlemen.
Your fault. It has been a long time.
Yeah, it is, I would say... mostly, almost entirely, might possibly be my fault. I decided that for some reason I needed a doctorate, and I've just been drowning in that and work and
stupid.
Yeah. And plus, honestly, it's like I'm at the point now where, like, if I have a free minute sitting at home, I'm like, wow, well, I could be painting terrain for the brawl. I could be painting figures for the brawl. I could be printing out more terrain for the brawl. So yeah, it's I'm in that zone at the moment. So, but we needed to certainly squeak out an episode, especially since there is so much good brawl news to share. Is there not?
There absolutely is.
Yes,
record-breaking registration.
Yes. Well, originally, right, we had said, okay, we're going to set it at 16 teams. We've certainly had more in the past, but you know, again, with the push here for the 3D model friendly terrain, right? Every time we increase past 16 teams, we're printing and painting more terrain. And then all of a sudden, within 24 hours, we were at 18 teams.
Yep.
Right. And then, 100 people, including all the other folks that have signed up for stuff. And that's fantastic news. And as a matter of fact, with Nova tickets have gone on sale. So if you're considering going to Nova, you got to buy those tickets if you want them to have the space to do stuff. And someone said, oh, well, seeing how's the brawl sold out, are you guys going to expand things if it gets bigger? And I'm like shouting at the screen, we haven't sold out. There's room. So we have not sold out. We certainly have room for 6 more teams. We'd love to have 6 more teams. And then I know that folks who are planning on coming still haven't bought their ticket. But here's the challenge. And the only reason why I really want folks to get tickets as quick as possible. We have enough things happening on Friday to house all the people coming Saturday, Sunday to play in the team event. But if you don't get your ticket and sign up, you might not get into the thing that you want to get into.
Right.
So, for example, the Boker Big Base Brawl has already sold out at 32 people.
Yep.
We only have 9 spots left in the Iron Gauntlet qualifier. Mm-hmm. The Unlimited Tournament, someone keeps signing up and then changing their mind. But I think when we get closer to the event, there'll be, I know for a fact that there are people who want to do it. They just, you know, haven't signed up. I put out a little poll onto the Facebook world and said, hey, I want to create another event. What do you think we should do? And I gave lots of people options. And the one that was chosen was Campaign in a Day.
Yep.
So I posted the campaign we're doing. So now I have to print boats for the defenders to surprise attack the attackers in. So that's being printed now as we speak as well. And then we have the narratives, right? We've got the narrative events, and 2 of the Friday narratives are sold out.
Yep. I'm looking at it right now. And then, yeah, we still have spots on Saturday.
Yep.
And then I think we still have spots on Sunday as well.
I think so too. You know, I think also, you know, Fenn's just going to be there running it for us. So I think if the shift is done and other people are standing there, he'll just run another shift for people, you know, provided he doesn't need a drink or a break or something. And we will certainly have the Cane Run table all set up for people to play on. Mm-hmm. So yeah, lots of amazing stuff happening. Broken Egg is coming to vend on site. And there might be even some more surprises coming from Adam and that his presence there. And then, of course, very soon I'm hoping to have the Doug Hamilton sculpted 30 millimeter Boker bust, which is the unique, only available at our event this year thing. I am not reprinting those. I'm not printing 100,000 and then just keep handing them out. Like, I'm printing enough for everyone who's coming. You know, a few extra for you know, like my mom, you know, my wife,
right?
You know, but after that, like that's it. So if you want that thing, you know, you
your
better
children.
Buy. Yeah, yeah, the kids,
and then some for the grandkids someday. Yeah. Who knows? You know.
Yeah, I gotta bring a couple to the next thing that Doug attends, so I can have him kind of quietly sign the bottoms of them for me.
Mm.
Yes, yes. So yeah, we're planning on lots of stuff. We've got some cool sponsorship things happening. I've got More Than Dice and Tried and True and Boker Memes have all sponsored some terrain at the Brawl. So that's super cool.
Yeah, and if anyone out there wants to sponsor terrain, you know, get in touch.
Yeah,
you want to know what that's about.
Now, a couple of folks have asked me. Certainly after Captain Con, you know, we talked about how these kind of metas grew and people have said, hey, you know, can you share the STLs? Well, of course we can, because we got them all free on Thingiverse. And, you know, so go up there, look, find the stuff that you want. I'll just tell everybody now that you have to be careful about the Z. You have to lower the Z if you want your models, if you want it to be 3D friendly. And then a couple of folks said, hey, we just want to buy a table's worth of terrain or two tables for our club. And you know what? We'll absolutely do that, but not until after the Brawl. I cannot spare a piece until so, you know, if you're coming to the Brawl and there's like, you know, hey, we just want some for the club. Hey, we'll work something out. But not till after the Brawl, please. Anything else for Brawl news, Steve?
I don't think so. It's going to be a great year. So if you're on the fence about doing it, I mean, the numbers don't lie. There are a lot of people coming. It's going to be a great time. And yes. I guess I just want to highlight. So we're at the point where we could do five rounds for the team event. And we probably will. Like, realistically, yeah, we probably will end up doing five rounds.
I think we're going to get two more teams, quite honestly, from what I've been hearing. Rumblings in the wind suggest another two teams.
Yeah. So that would bring us up to 20.
Yep.
So that's pretty exciting.
Yep.
And so three rounds on Saturday means that Saturday night is going to be a great time to play board games and hang out. I mean, play more War Machine. I see people do that every time and I'm like, wow, how do you guys do it?
Yeah.
So much War Machine. Like, but man, I love it. The bed machine that gets played at the hotel where people just bring a board and then they throw it on the bed and then people crowd into a hotel room and watch people play War Machine. Like, I absolutely love that. I'm very much looking forward to seeing some more of that this year.
Yeah. Hey, make
Captain Sonar playing some of that.
Make sure you get your hotel room. Our block is pretty big, but so are the numbers of people coming. And I don't want anyone to get locked out of the hotel block. They tell me that they're not willing to make the block bigger, but they're also not, they haven't run out of rooms. So, you know, certainly get your room. And then I'm going to see if our block fills up, I'll see what they can do for us for some overnight space for, you know, board gaming, but we've tried before. They're not very accommodating, but we'll see. Once we sell out a room block, it could be a different story. So
it's definitely worth saying that they have told us that, like, this is the block and this is all it's going to be, so who knows if that will change or not,
right?
But if you're thinking you want to get the hotel now.
Yes. A couple of folks have asked me about traveling in. New Jersey is not the most mass transit friendly to begin with, and America is not the most mass transit friendly after that, so you can get to the train stop that is a mile from the hotel, from the airport. Like, there's definitely a way to do it. You'll have to Uber from the train station in Somerville to the hotel. It can be done. I have some details on the website, but there it is. You know, there is a website, www.theBokerBrawl.com. I keep it updated, and or as best I can anyway. So please take a look. Someone said, hey, I hear you do this trading thing on Saturday night, the Boker Bazaar, and certainly back for this year. Lots of folks are very excited about it. And I can't think of anything else we can tell you about the event other than it's going to be The hoagies on Friday, the chili on Saturday, and then the pizza on Sunday. There you have it. Okay.
Oh, one other thing. Yes. So I got to add this to the website. But list lock for the team event is going to be a week ahead of time.
Gotcha.
So that's something that's got to get out there. So I got to add that to the website. But
okay.
That's something that people should know. So okay. Get your list in. So the way that is going to work this year is you can put the list in. Like, we'll have the events on Longshanks. So you put the list in, and then you can hide them. And, you know, if you're serious about it, you can hide them. If you don't care, then you don't have to. But that's how we will validate them. Like, we'll validate them through that.
Yeah.
Get them all in that format. And then we'll publish them basically the week ahead. So,
yeah. Our expectation is we expect you to copy and paste it from your app.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think it's unreasonable for us to say, folks, if you don't have an app, put it in your friend's app and copy and paste it into Longshanks. And when you register, please be prepared to tell us what your Longshanks nickname is.
Yes.
Because we're going to need to know. Makes life much, much easier.
Yes.
All right. So I know I mentioned Nova, but I'm going to say it again. They are planning some amazing stuff. So if you're thinking about going over, you're pretty sure you're going to be there, get a ticket now. Let's make sure they have that space to do something with, please. We're lucky because our VFW host is pretty flexible, but lots of other folks don't have that flexibility. So, you know, they need to know you're coming. They need to, you know, they need to be able to plan, et cetera, et cetera. Any other announcements for local stuff that is happening there, Mr. Rabideau?
I don't think so. There's a number of portal events coming up.
Yeah, he's really he's packed that calendar.
Yeah,
he does unlimited, and then he does a regular. Portal's got a great little community there. So if you can make, if you're nearby Portal, if you're not nearby Portal, make a plan to make a trip. Let Dave know ahead of time you're coming. That's always a good time. All right.
So, and then I guess one other thing.
Yes.
So I'm looking to fill my dance card on War Table with practice for the WTC. So
yes.
If you people out there, you know, if you just want to get in touch and play some War Table games, I'm looking for opponents. So.
All right. Outstanding. Steve Rabideau, WTC captain, the world has moved. All right. So. I would like to talk about some stuff that I did this past weekend. I know I traveled. I went up to Flipside Gaming in East Greenbush, which
that's
is
pretty far.
That's Albany. I had no idea. Like we're driving and I'm seeing signs for Albany, and then I'm, you know, and our exits past that. I'm like, oh wow, we're really far up there. And I made an arrangement. I have not had a road trip with Jake. Why am I blanking on his last name?
Palumbo.
Jake Palumbo. I've not had a road trip with Jake Palumbo in I think almost 5 years. Like the last time he and I road tripped, just the two of us, and we used to do it a lot, but the last time we road tripped just the two of us, I got a traffic ticket on the way down to Little Egg Harbor. And I pleaded it down to a unsafe driving offense, which means if I keep my record clear for 5 years, the ticket disappears. And on the way home from the event, we get pulled over by a cop.
And oh, Jake, no.
And Jake was driving, not me. And I'm like, maybe we should stop doing this. Maybe this is a bad idea. Maybe the world of the police are worried about, you know, the two of us driving together. I'm not really sure. So we drove, I drove up to Jake, and then we drove together up to Flipside Gaming, where Dan Schwanke is heading up the new meta, or I should say the returning meta, to that store. They're looking to do something monthly. It was a great store. It was a nice size. They had some, I liked it when they have the tables high enough that you don't really need to sit, right? You're just kind of leaning.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Lots of stuff in the store. They're getting some War Machine stuff back in stock. What was really cool, I was there for a couple reasons. One, it was an opportunity to play and not be roped into judging something, right? I just showed up, but I was able to play. Two, Dan had printed stuff for me, so I needed to pick it up, and I needed to drop off some plastic for him, so it was just a good opportunity. And then also, I wanted to see some of the, you know, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts guys that I knew were coming back to the game, like Dan Berger. He was there. He was playing. It was so nice. Cool to hang out with him again. And as a matter of fact, during the whole event, there were, I think, three former War Machine guys who came back to just watch the tournament for a while. And they stayed and they talked and they chatted. And they're like, okay, so I can use my legacy stuff. It looks like I can, because there were a lot of legacy armies in the room. Not a ton, but there were legacy armies in the room, and all the legacy players were like, yeah, it's fine. And so they're like, oh, Wednesday night. Okay, well, we'll see you. So, you know, just running the tournament at the store and, you know, and Schwanky putting out the call to say, hey, can we fill it up? Can we get a lot of folks here? Generated more players for him locally, which is super great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's why I say a rising tide raises all ships. So I went to
play. I think you invented that. That's a pretty cool phrase.
I did not invent it, but it is a cool phrase. So I just want to talk a little bit about my experience there. It was, like I said, great store. The people there were amazing. I brought my Orgoth. My Orgoth were, my lists were designed live on Minority Report, essentially by Terrence.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, they had me on. I got to talk about the brawl a little bit. We talked about art lists a little bit. I said, hey, I'm going to this event. Build me a list. And so one of the things he did was he looked at my spell, not my spell rack, my cards, my command cards. And he said, why don't you have put the fires out? I'm like, it's nice. It's nice. It's not thrilling. But, you know, he said, no, it got better. You got to read it. So,
yeah,
it shakes everything.
Yeah, it's really good.
Everything. Like, how is this not a point or 2 points? Like, there was one point in one game where, like, I had three models shadowbound and my mechanic was able to shake one and I used this command card to shake another. And then I just shook it with a focus on the third jack. I mean, talk about you know, a great resource. All of a sudden, three jacks unshadowbound, two of them still powered up.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's great if you have like an infantry heavy list too, or if you have like cavalry or something like that, which, you know, are high value activations that you don't want like one of them to be left behind or something like that.
Right. Right. So I put that in the list, Breakthrough, Old Faithful, Savagery, Power Swell. But then he also had me change, like I have a really bad habit. When I build lists, I lean very heavily into what the list does. You know what I mean? So my original, list had three loaded out, tyrants with shields and flails. And I think one was a gun one. And he's like, hey, you know, drop this extra solo that you don't really know why you're taking, and change up the weapons on one of your tyrants and turn one into a harpoon claw tyrant. And then you can take a jackal and you give him an arc node head and you give him a mace and a clawed fist. And then you have a threat for Harusk's knockdown spell. And you've got an extra jack on the table, an extra cohort model. And in this steamroller packet, that's really important. Mm-hmm. And holy crap, he was 100% right. It's a much better list. So then I've got the Reaver Commander, Therian Vanek, Volkor, Forge Master, Rock Harriers, two units of Axers, a unit of Barragers, and War Witch Coven, right? So that's my list. So round one, I go up against Dan Riker. I love Dan Riker. He's a good friend. It was so great to just be able to play a game against him instead of being at an event where I'm judging. Just that first turn, I don't know if it was getting up at 5 in the morning to make sure I could get to the event, but I forgot all my rules. and like someone at the event was like, Seth, I don't think I've ever seen you play the game. And I'm like, well, two things always surprise people when I play War Machine. The first is that I don't know the rules when I play. Mm-hmm. Like I have no idea what they are. I always forget them. I always get them wrong. And the second is people are always surprised by how bad I am at the game. Like sometimes they'll say, what strategy is this? What, are you trying to bait me to something? I'm like, no, I'm just a moron. And I shoved all those guys out there for you to kill. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, don't assume I know what I'm doing. I really don't. So I did my typical round one, forgot all the rules. He was playing pirates. I'm sorry, he was playing Brineblood pirates.
Yeah.
And he was playing that caster. I don't know the caster's names, but it's the one that all the ones turn into sixes.
Bragan Ragemonger.
Yeah. We'll talk about that feat in just one second. But I think I went first and he went second. And then he starts, those throwaway units. He starts shooting away at my ulkers and he's blowing them off the table. And I'm like, holy crap. And then I get to turn two and I'm like, hey, Dad, you want to hear something funny? Those guys have 8 boxes, not 5. And the worst part is the ulkers have snacking.
Mm-hmm.
So, he should have shot them. And then they at least all 3 of them probably would live. But, let's say 2 of the 3 live. And then they charge the unit. And then they eat and they're back to full strength.
Yep.
Right? Like, holy crap, how did I mess that up? And he wins the game pretty easily. I handed it to him. He would have won anyway because he's a really good player. But I didn't need to gift it to him. you know what I mean? But it was just, it's always, and Dan's like, in another couple of months, I keep playing. I'll know your army so well, I'll tell you where you're messing up. I'm like, yeah, we're just not there yet. Like, he's that kind of player. Like, he's the kind of player who'll be like, oh, well, he's dead. No. Seth, he's got 3 more boxes. Leave that guy on the table. that's, he would do that, but he just didn't know. So that was round one. And then I don't remember it was Wolves at Our Heels was the scenario. And I don't know if anyone's seen this yet, but floating around Discord and floating around Facebook, someone created a website and it's literally just a black screen with the box with the names of the scenario. You click on the scenario and you click if it's 20, 30, 40, 50 or a cache, and it shows you on a black map where to set up each of your objectives. And it was so super useful. Schwenke put it into the event page, and that's what we all used. So I spent like an hour trying to put this table together, had people proofread it for me with all the measurements, etc. This thing, point click, there's your measurement. It was great. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make sure that our player aids for the brawl has a little QR code for that so people can use it. So that was amazing. All right, round two, I go on to play Phil Crazy. I don't know if I'm saying his name last name correctly. He's a great guy. I've played, he's certainly been at lots of stuff that I've run. Good man, always good to hang out with him. He was playing Chimera, and I've never played Chimera before. And he was playing the caster who like throws all the knives all the time. Mm-hmm. And he had a wyvern.
Shiras, yeah.
Yeah, and he has a wyvern. And he doesn't paint with acrylics. He paints with testers.
Ooh.
The enamels.
Interesting.
And I got to tell you, on the construct model, like on the Chimera type model, it looked amazing. It looked amazing. I told him that. It was a very interesting game that the Wyvern, oh boy. That thing is a real backbreaker. And then with that, and then the caster's debuff, and then the little dude riding the bunny, the Grimkin dude that you can't play in Grimkin.
Mm-hmm.
There was just all this debuffing going on, and I was really concerned I wasn't going to be able to, to last the game. I wasn't going to be able to take anything of his off the table. Fortunately, his dice were absolutely awful. That really worked out for me because that allowed me to stay on the table and I ended up taking it on scenario. Then that brought me to round 3 where I played Roy Loftfield. Roy is a local to up there. And it was funny. He's playing Dusk. He's new to Dusk. So new that I said, hey, tell me a little bit about what your army does. Cause I got to think about what spells I want to rack. I said, do you have a lot of shooting? And he said, I think I got a unit or two that's got some, kind of chip damage type shooting. And, I think that's about it. Every one of his jacks has a gun.
Right.
And he had three jacks on the team. And he's got these rifle dudes that have combined range attack. And he's got these archers that when they killed one of my guys, he took it over and killed my guy.
Yep.
I should have taken Windstorm.
You should have taken Windstorm.
But he didn't know. He was new to the faction. He didn't do anything wrong. What ended up happening was it was payload. And of all the scenarios, I would advocate for that one being changed right now. If you are player two on payload, you got to work. You have to know exactly what to do to make sure I don't win on scenario. Like, that's almost player one's job in that game, is just to make sure that player two doesn't win on scenario. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is
like, especially depending on the terrain, it can be extremely difficult for player one to win.
Yeah. Like, I ended up on my turn one running a unit, a solo, and a jack and a little jackal over to that corner where all the objectives were. And then he ambushed a unit of single wound infantry, which I just took care of the next turn. And all of a sudden I'm like scoring 4 points. Right. And he also didn't know about the drag gun. So he had Israfel where he thought he was in a safe place. I just shot away the archers that were screening him. And then my tyrant walked up and hit him with the spear and pulled him in. And I had done damage to, I damaged him, but then he like shunted off the damage with a focus. And he was concerned that, well, you shouldn't be able to drag him now because you didn't damage him. And then we like had a little, I don't want to say heated, but we had an intense discussion about it. And he's like, well, wait a second, I can just read the rest of the card. And at the bottom of the description, it says this model is considered to have taken damage. So I fell prey to the classic player blunder of not actually reading all of the rules.
Right. You got to read the whole rule.
Whole rule. I fell for it. But I dragged Israfel in, and then my other tyrant killed him. So, and he said the next turn, he was like, I don't mind losing. I do mind feeling like there's nothing I could have done about the loss. And I'm like, I totally get that. I said, and he's a newer player. I said, I think this is more about the scenario and going first than anything else. He also feeded first turn. And I said, in a scenario where I don't need to get into your side of the table, that didn't really matter. Yeah. So.
Right. Yeah. And it can be, sorry, did you say who chose which one? Like first or second? Who got to make the decision?
Oh, I think he chose first.
Okay. So he chose to go first.
Yeah.
Yeah. That can be, especially as a newer player, like, you know, there's an obvious thing, right? It's you want to go first, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, when you're playing these scenarios, you discover that, hey, going second is often a better choice. Not always. And you can absolutely build lists that are equipped to go first and could be very good going first. But
right.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Yep.
So but I guess I would say that's one of the fun nuances of the game. Is like it's not just, well, you got to go first. You know, it's a much more interesting thing than just that.
I agree. Like I said, and I'll say it again, it took the original Steamroller a couple of years to get dialed into a place where like this is really good. It's going to take them a while for the new Steamroller format also, but payload, you can change that one right quick and no one's going to cry. So it was very cool playing Chimera and Dusk for the first time. There have been a lot of Dusk models that have come out. And I'm like, did I make a mistake? This Dusk seems really good. Like, did you see the Assassin unit that they had come out?
Mm-hmm.
They look amazing.
Yeah, they look very, very good.
So I know that they're only power 10, but it's a range 3 melee attack. It's a chain weapon. They got blessed. Right, they have lots of ways around the things that make power 10 bad. So
and then you missed the best thing.
Of course I did, which is
decap.
Oh yeah,
that's the point.
Yeah,
so they're essentially a unit of Mage Hunter Assassins, except no weapon master. That's the big change. And I mean, the reason for that, of course, is that Battle Lust is on the spell rack. So like, you know, you're going to get it.
You're going to get it. Yeah. They look really scary. I'll tell you something else that Schwenke did for this event. They have buildings. They're from a guy in Spain. He makes these really nice, high quality cardboard, medieval style buildings, and they had flat roofs and ladders. So there was a lot of, hey, let's climb up on the roof. And the first game, Dan Riker's like, can we just call it an obstruction? I'm like, done. No problem.
I think that's, yeah, because Dan is seeing what people maybe don't always immediately see, which is because of the way that the rules work. If you're on a building, you get elevation and cover, just like every time.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be attackable by melee. So it can be incredible. Like, you want to talk about, you know, feeling like there's nothing that you can do. Like, just wait until, you know, something lands on top of a building. Like, if a beast like flies up on top of a building, and then it's like, okay, well, you can't get to me in melee, but it immediately just drops down, right, and is able to charge from there. So like, it's extremely, extremely powerful.
Yeah. So the second game, he wanted to play it as a flat roof. So my barragers got up to the roof and they spent the whole game up there just lobbing shots. And he had two units. I want to call them skinks. They're not skinks though. In Chimera, the little lizard guys. And they have stealth, and it didn't matter because just three guys a turn were dying because I could, you know, just pop a shot into them and power 8 and, you know, their armor 11, they were dead. So, whatever their armor was.
Yep.
So as much as I think it's very cool to be able to interact with terrain, I'm not sure the rules are there yet. I'm going to say that much. I think there's more tweaking there, but I think it has potential. Let's put it that
way. I agree. Yeah. I would say it has potential. Like, at least the bones are there now.
Yes.
So like, there's an expectation that this kind of thing could work.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. It does need a little bit more time, a little bit more care taken because, you know, just flat plus 6 defense and an inability to be threatened from melee. I mean, we kind of learned this with guard towers, right?
Right.
Like it's a very powerful thing that is hard to balance because if it's just like, if you have it, it's there. And then your opponent doesn't have it. It's pretty devastating.
Right. So,
and it also just, it continues to like, you always have to be careful with any kind of game like this to not overpower gun lines.
Yeah.
And that all plays into gun lines just being more powerful.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's a constant struggle. I still think that guns are ranges are too high, but I know I'm a minority in that thinking. I mean, if you want a primarily a fighting skirmish game, then you have to underpower the guns. Because if, you know, look, let's face it, if guns didn't exist, we'd all still be fighting with swords. So, you know, guns
not
are
not me. I'd use a spear.
But my point is, my gun is still better than your spear. So
that's what always gets me about, like, when you look at like 40K models and it's using a spear, and it's like, okay, so the reason that spears are good is A, because they're easier to make than swords, and B, they have a longer reach than a sword. So like, you could stab the guy before he gets to you. Right. And it's easier to use, like, as just like a peasant, you know, you just like stab. Yep. But then it's like, okay, so it reaches longer than a sword. That's good. But you know what reaches even longer? A gun.
That's right. So the pistol you have sculpted on his waist.
Right. Or like the pistol that's on the spear. It's just like, use that, you know?
Well, I guess it was one of the things I always thought was genius about Dune. If I don't know, did you ever read the book?
Oh, yes, yes. And yeah. Like, what do they say? The slow blade penetrates the shield or something
yes,
like that?
Yes, the shields stop, have essentially made guns obsolete or limited use. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because they have, yeah, it's like it's like a Newtonian thing where it like, or non-Newtonian, where it like matches the force. And so it like prevents, you know, fast things. So like knives work, but they have to be like specific about how they use them.
Yep. Yep.
And then no lasers, because it could explode, something like that.
Right. Either way, they successfully navigated that minefield of science fiction and fantasy. All right. So, hey, let's turn the lens to you, Mr. Rabideau, just for a moment, because you did mention War Table and you did mention getting ready for WTC. Mm-hmm. So without great detail, you know, just give us some broad strokes. What is your plan for preparation?
So the plan is to get lots of experience. That's basically the plan, right? You want to play matchups that you think are going to be important. You want to know your list backwards and forwards. And then, I mean, that's all you can do. That's the main thing. Like, focus on the controllables. Like, I can't control if the dice go bad. I can control if, for example, I put my caster too far forward and gets harpooned and dragged and killed, right? Like, that was my fault.
Right.
But if the dice cooperate, like, I played a game against Steve King today, and I initially, like, ran my caster. I was playing Athena, and I turn one, I put out all my spells and whatnot. I cast deflection. And then I was like about to run her forward. And I was like, wait a minute. He could run and get me with gallows potentially. Like, I've got deflection. I'm in a trench. So my defense is going to be quite high, but he could just roll high, right? Like, if he does, then that's it. Like, if he just manages the 12, then that's it. Like, why would I even give him the chance? I could just stay back. And then next turn, if she needs to, she could run and feed or whatever. Right. So that it's about knowing your own stuff and your own stuff.
So if you don't mind a follow-up question, are you kind of settled on what list you are playing?
No.
Okay. No, that does make it a little harder.
We're not going to get settled for a while yet.
Because you got a lot of time.
There's a lot going on. So I want to get a lot of experience, and, you know, in a team format, you also have to be thinking about the other lists that are being played.
Right.
So if, you know, maybe I don't need this to cover that kind of a thing. So, somebody else will deal with that for me, you know.
Remember what Brad Park, Grant Ritchie had always said, right? You only need to win 3 games. You don't got to win 5. Mm-hmm. So if you can engineer 3 wins for your team, that's what you need.
Right.
All right. Well, that's interesting. I appreciate you letting me put you on the spot like that. We'll get little follow-ups from you as we get closer to the event. And for those who don't know, you could face Steve Rabideau at the Boker Brawl, since he needs to practice and he's got to play in the team event. So you will see him there playing. And then, David Lee is going to be my little Padawan again. David, thank you, for helping judge that event. We actually have, I think I'm up to 4 mercenaries.
Ooh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I'm going to do is, hang on to them for a little while, just because, you know, teams have holes. But then, you know, if no team has a hole, then I've got a merc team. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Either way, we'll make sure everyone can play, because that's what we do.
Right. Absolutely.
All right. So let us move on. I wanted to talk about some of the new models that have come out. I know we talked a little bit about those Dusk models, but oh my gosh, Carver. Mm-hmm. What is it? Carver the Untamed. What is his new title?
Ultimus.
Carver like Ultimus, bringer of most massive destruction, Esquire. Oh my gosh.
No, he's just Carver Ultimus now.
No, he's still Esquire. Because in the fluff.
Oh, is it like a fluff thing?
Yeah, he refers to himself that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that was his original title. But yes. So what I like is that the Warbor is Warbor MMD 47, right?
Yeah,
so
he
is still the bringer of most massive destruction. It's just now that's the Warbor's name.
That's the Warbor, not him.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about the fluff for that model in just 1 second. I love that you can't put Carver and Magnus in the same army.
yep.
That's a nice little piece of fluff there. Carver Ultimus. So we've got the Spray 6. He's got the both barrels on his double-barreled scatter gun. He's still got the Hand of God, Hand of God Almighty, which I think is a change of the name to the weapon.
I believe it is, yeah.
Yeah, which is power 15, looks like causes fire, magical, range 2.
Yep.
Swine Ripper, power 13, mat 7. It's got critical pitch on that. Wow. So that's kind of cool. And then he's got Quagmire, Torment, and Batten Down the Hatches. And I think, what's Torment? Model damage is tough? Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it knocks tough off, can't remove damage. So, like, if you catch a caster with it, it's a big deal.
Yeah. Well, it's, I think you're either going to, I mean, truthfully, you're going to catch a caster, you're going to catch a very important tough solo or tough unit attachment that you need to kill.
Or something like a Colossal, because you'll notice it does not apply Grievous Wounds, which Colossals are immune to. It just says that you cannot remove damage, right? So it's a sort of a...
I didn't even catch that.
Rules that tend to stop that sort of thing.
Do you think that's intentional?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
You just tag any War Beast and you don't have to worry about, if you didn't kill it, that it'll be at full capacity next turn. Because it can't be healed.
Yep. Arthur, or a Warjack with the card. You know, everybody takes the command card now, right? That lets you heal a Warjack, so you're able to stop that.
Wow.
I played him in the game today. He's pretty solid.
He seems it. Wow. Now, why can't I find his little beastie friend? What do I have to press to get him?
I don't know. He's a separate entry, but he's right under.
Oh, is he a separate entry? That's why. There used to be a little paperclip thing. Warbore MMD 47. Yep. Bulldoze, which I think is great. Full bore, gets +2 speed, takes D3 damage. It gains exhaust fumes. Nice. It gains exhaust fumes. All right. So when a model with exhaust fumes advances during its normal movement for one round, other friendly models gain concealment while within 3 inches of this model. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is that, I mean, I look at that and I say, meh, is there something I'm missing, or is that just a thing it does?
Well, so you played against Shiris, right? In round two.
Yeah.
So her thing is Field Marshal Prowl.
Yeah.
And her feat is everybody gains concealment, which gives all the beasts stealth.
Right.
So like you could have that every turn with this guy.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So it's definitely, it's like the concealment thing is sort of a bonus to a lot of things, but it can be pretty critical at certain lists, basically, if you want it to be.
Well, I got to say, I like those volley cannons at power 13 with volume fire.
Oh yeah. Range 12, power 13.
Yeah.
D3.
+1 to attack, +2 to attack.
Mm-hmm.
And then the chain tusks are power 18. So on a critical hit.
If you look at the art, I mean, he has chainsaw tusks. So it's pretty great. It's pretty great.
Which is why they have critical shred.
Yeah.
And then his animus is recoil.
Yep.
Which is Swift Hunter.
So it's a interesting like foil to Magnus, because Magnus, so if you look at Magnus versus, I mean, so one similarity is both of them are going to be armor 22,
right?
Because batten down the hatches will give +3 armor. So our starting at armor 19 gets the armor 22, but then Magnus himself, has a little bit more ranged contribution. Like he can potentially contribute turn over turn more than Carver can, because Carver just has like a spray 6 scatter gun, right?
Right, right.
And maybe you're casting Torment or something like that, but you're probably just casting batten down the hatches and not dying. Like that's Carver's plan until the end game, where he's kind of a monster. Like he does a lot more damage in combat than Magnus does.
Right.
But on the other hand, the Warbore has those 2d3 scatter, 2d3 volley cannons, right? So though that means that he's contributing more at range than Invictus is. But Invictus has like the 2 melee attacks, range 3, like can threaten further in melee than this guy can. So it's kind of they're kind of opposites in those terms. So you take Invictus when you want, a good gun, but mainly that melee threat. But you take the Warbore when you want to be able to shoot things to death.
Yeah, it's a really cool model. And I know you guys, neither of you guys read the fluff for him yet. In the fluff, he's, of course, damaged and he goes back and Arcadius puts him back together. And Arcadius is not kind about it. He's giggling and laughing and plotting. And he's like, all right, let's, we'll put you on this regimen of tune-ups and physical therapy, and we'll get you back on your feet. And Carver's like, no, I have no time for that. I've got to run my empire here from my capital, Carverton. He named it Carverton, literally Carver, T-O-N, Carverton. And he's restless and he's angry, and finally, you know, and he's given Arcadius like a pretty much an ultimatum. You gotta build me something that'll help me bring destruction because I'm not doing it myself anymore. And he makes him that battle boar, and he goes off to find. He goes to the city where he fought Magnus, and he says, "Bring out Magnus." And three guys come out, and they're like, you know, he's not here anymore, but we'll be happy to kill you. And then his battle boar comes out, and they start this big battle. And at one point, Carver's injured by a guy with a sword, and he's like, "Normally, I would just shut that off to my war beast, but gosh darn, if that new war beast of mine isn't so darn beautiful, I don't want to damage him." So he eats to damage himself, and then he like leaves one guy alive and carries him back to, you know, to be treated so he could tell Magnus that he's coming for him. It was a good piece of fluff. And, you know, Carver's always been a little bit ridiculous, right?
I mean,
a little bit ridiculous. This wasn't a ridiculous story. Like, it suddenly seemed to, like, I would almost describe his original fluff as being very Riot Quest-y, whereas this fluff was very, just kind of spot on with the steam powered combat, if you will. It was very good. I appreciated it. So, any other new models anybody wants to mention?
Well, so before we move on, I do want to say, I think there was a slight missed opportunity here.
Yeah, what's that?
That I think can be turned into a big win for perhaps some local Pharaoh players. Who, you know, maybe are already heavily modifying their own Pharaoh models that are beautiful. but I think this guy should be on tank treads. I think the most massive destruction 47 should be on tank treads. That's what I think. Like, okay. I feel like that would be amazing. That's an amazing conversion just waiting to happen. He's a giant tank pig. Like, it's the best thing ever.
But the Boker Brawl will not pay the $70 for the model if you don't like the way it turned out. Sorry, I just had to throw that out there.
Plus the cost of a pig tank.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. Although, are those treads even big enough?
No, wasn't even thinking of that, honestly.
You'd have to go for the shitty Kador tank.
No, you just, like... Well, I mean, you don't get a Land Raider, right? But, like, I mean, that's what I'm envisioning.
There are enough.
That it's like just popping out the top of.
No, I mean, if you cut the top off the shitty Kador tank, those treads, I guess, would work.
That thing's deadly, man. Thing's deadly.
Thing is the ugliest fucking thing ever. It's so stupid looking.
All right, I'm googling tank treads on, or I'm not googling. I'm searching tank treads on Thingiverse.
Yeah, Thingiverse. Sure, go to Etsy. Like,
look at this.
Yeah, I was going to say there's enough tank tread models out there that I'm sure you don't need to rely on the hated Kador tank
trucks. I have it. Steve, look up Cyclops Demolition Vehicle for Warhammer. It's a baby little tank that's basically like a self-propelled bomb that it just drives up the field and then goes boom.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that actually like a real thing? Like,
it's like a bomb retrieval or like there are a couple of versions of them that they use out there. Yeah.
Exactly. Something like that. I also found, I just, in my search on Thingiverse, I found a Lemon Rus. So you could always get that.
A Lehman Russ.
No, it is Lemon Rus. So I guess they're, you know, dodging things there. But yeah, there's E10 tanks. You know, there's just the treads. It's perfect. It is perfect. That I'm not much of a modder. I might do that.
Really? I think that'd be great.
But man, like I think it'd be hilarious if this thing had tank treads. Now, granted, it does not have Pathfinder, and I feel like that would be incongruous with the modification.
Yeah, but personally, it does have it has Unstoppable.
Yeah, it has Bulldoze. So you put a plow on the front.
Yeah, put a little plow on the front.
Yeah, don't overthink it. Don't overthink it. It's a good mod. Somebody should do it. I'm not paying for it. All right.
Wait, but if you submit that for the painting competition at the Boker Brawl, you will not have an advantage. I'm going to establish that right now.
You'll fucking win no matter how shitty of a paint job you do.
Maybe we'll just make it our own category for that.
Yeah, tank tread pig.
Tank tread pig models.
Big pig tank treads.
That'd be funny just to see what we get, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So then the other model, of course, is Kruger.
Oh, Kruger, yeah.
Having come out.
Yeah.
Kruger, the Wrath of Blightergast.
Kruger, who can't work for a circle, and Fenn is freaking out about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. I was going to say, oh, really? Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, that's how it goes. That's how it goes. When, well, because he's not like, he kind of betrayed the circle for Blightergast.
Yes.
So, you know, he's got a new master now.
Yes, yes, he does. That model, first of all, I think it looks good. I love the way that model looks.
It is incredible. If you have not seen it, which I cannot imagine you're listening to this podcast and have not seen it, but if you haven't, you got to look it up.
The only reason I don't want to paint it is because I don't do flame and lava well. Like, you know, I don't trust my ability to paint that model and have it look halfway decent.
Mm. I bet you could do it though. It'd be a great model to like practice on, you know, look up a YouTube tutorial and.
Yeah, I guess. So, Kruger 3, what has he got? He's got a gunfighter, right? He's got,
yes. One of the few models that has gunfighter.
Yep. He's got Pathfinder. He's got Eye of Sight. He's got Advanced Deploy. He's immune to fire. Obviously he's got Ashen Veil. So within 2 inches, you're going to fire, you're going to have -2 attack rolls while within 2 inches of him. Burning Blight while within 5 inches. Other living models gain +1 to their melee attack rolls, but suffer -1 armor.
Yes.
That's interesting. While within 5 inches of Kruger, other living models, friendly or enemy, just other living models. Wow.
Yeah. It's very interesting. Like he's a very, yeah. Like you have to be careful with him, you know?
Yeah. You can't plop him in the, it's like, oh gosh, there was another model like that where if you had him too close to your own stuff. They've done a few of those over the years.
Yes. So it's been a while now. I forget exactly what the rule was. I think it's called like Master of Ruin or something like that. But there was a couple. So the King of Nothing had that rule where it was within 5 inches, you lose 2 armor. And then the Hermit had that as well. But the Hermit, like the reason I can't remember the name of the rule is because the Hermit would have like a spell that had a name that gave him that rule that had a different name or whatever. But yeah, the King of Nothing, his whole thing was he lessened armor by 2 while within 5 inches. So friendly and enemy. So like part of his game plan was like getting in there and then getting out kind of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got the, it burns rule. He's got mental force, path of flames. Yeah. This is a really neat model. Dragon's Fury is his gun.
Path of flames is also really good. Let's not skip over that. So you forfeit movement, you teleport 8 inches. And then everybody within 2 inches takes a power 13 fire damage roll. Like he just detonates a fireball right there. And of course, if they're living, it's going to be power 14 because they suffer -1 armor.
Right. Wow, that's good. And then he's got the gun, Dragon's Fury, range 10, rate of fire 2. It's got gunfighter. Pistol? I meant pistol.
He has gunfighter and pistol.
He's got gunfighter and pistol. And then Eruption of Ash, direct hit, model box turns into a 3-inch cloud template. We're starting to see more 3-inch templates back on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be honest, a little side note here. I hope we don't see a return of all different size templates all over the place. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The battlefield seems very neat without all these, you know, little templates floating around. But that's neither here nor there. Templates of Hazard remains in play for 1 round. And then entering or ending, you get the power 12 fire damage roll. And Howling Flames, you pick each time this weapon was used. Okay, so you choose one or the other. Howling Flames is the other. Base stats become spray 10, pow 12. And causes fire damage. And models hit suffer the fire continuous effect. That's a great model, man.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great model. Who's he work for?
He works for Storm Legion, Dusk, and Kador.
Another reason,
specifically, you know, Wintercore.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Well, I have my Kador back. Certainly a reason to get this model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he is the result of the narrative that that ran at Warfare Weekend.
Yes. Yeah.
So I like that. You had a part in that. You had a part in that set.
Well,
I remember.
I had a part because I sort of. Mizzy had a bigger part in that for me. I gave her my spot. You know, I was talking to Henry Henry Van Blake, for those of you who don't know him, has not been on the War Machine scene for a few years, but he always pays attention to what's happening. He is a fantastic gamer person in general, but he's very good at games too. I was talking about how I have the Kador back, but I'm a little disenchanted because I don't really see how to make them work. And he was like, what, are you crazy? And he's running down all these ways that he thinks Kador should be working. And I said, Henry, how about I lend you my Kador and you come back into War Machine and you be the guy that breaks it open for everybody? And he's like, well, I was actually planning on coming back next month to War Machine now that some other things have settled. So Henry might be breaking the Kador open for everyone. He has a very unique play style, though. Like, it's hard to replicate what he does. He sees the game so differently from everybody else.
He and Charlie are both very much like that, where they have like yes. a very sort of specific understanding of how the game works in a way that
yeah,
is
yeah.
just very intuitive for them and not so right. much for other people. So
right, exactly. Well, Charlie was right about that Brine Blood Claster. For those who were not privy to the conversation, Charlie was talking about how changing ones to sixes is a huge deal. Yeah. And having lived through it, it absolutely is.
Yeah.
It is absolutely a huge deal. I think there are I forget the math on it, but like if you consider that an average roll is seven, and there are three ways to make a seven, one of those ways involves a six and a one. So one out of every three rolls is actually going to, you know, I think like you'd have to check with Charlie, but like we were just talking about it on the at the store, and someone said basically that means that you're going to have a 9.5 average every three rolls on feet and on two dice. Right. Mm-hmm. So that was and once you're rolling three dice, it becomes crazy. The number of ones you roll when you roll three dice. And you just pop them over to sixes, and it's just, it was bad, man.
So one way to calculate dice average is you just add 1 + 2 + 3 + 4 + 5 + 6, divide by six, that gives you 3.5, right?
Yeah.
So 6 + 2 + 3 + 4 + 5 + 6, divide that by six, then you're at 4.3, right? So like,
yeah,
it's a significant difference.
Yeah.
And yeah. then so you end up at, yeah, almost a 9 for two dice.
Okay, like, well,
it's very good.
Yeah, it felt bad. And again, nothing wrong with Dan for playing it or the way he played it. I just mean that like it was like, holy crap, everything's dead.
I think it fits what I know about Dan Riker's play styles, where it's like Dan Riker, the thing that, as I understand, annoys him quite a bit is when like dice just don't cooperate. So like having a feat where it's like the dice are going to cooperate, whether you like it or not, like it eliminates that kind of like
right,
annoyance
right.
is it makes perfect sense. Like it's a, yeah, very, I don't it's
know
a very strong.
If, yeah. I don't know if he gets so bent these days about it, but certainly once upon a time, I mean, we used to have the odds machine app, you know, mm-hmm. Everything was well, the odds on that are, but he's not so much about that anymore.
Well, no. And I don't even mean like he gets bent out of shape per se. It's just like, I mean, I think that's how he thinks about the game is like smoothing out. Like yeah. smoothing out these kinds of like unexpected bumps,
yeah, yeah.
Either like high or low, you know. It doesn't, you know, just smoothing out these things. So like yeah. that's absolutely a feat that smooths these things out.
I mean, I know I'm really enamored with that the whole Northeast and the resurgence of War Machine at the moment. But mark my words, in another year, you're gonna start seeing you know, Riker's name back up there, you know, Berger's name back up there. If Jeff Fredrickson plays a whole heck of a lot more, I think you're gonna start to see his name up there too. You know what I mean? Like I mm-hmm. think they're prepped for a resurgence in that area. So very yeah, good. Very, very exciting what's happening there. So I got a weird one for the group, just a recommendation, really, I guess is what we're calling it. I was looking around YouTube. And I found a channel, the name is Carrie, K-A-R-I, Wee, W-H-E-E. And Carrie Wee has done 5 War Machine stop motion battle reports.
Ooh.
And they are the coolest thing to watch. It must take them forever to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't imagine the amount of effort and time it takes to stop motion animate War Machine models to the point where they even stop motion the focus coming on and off models and they stop motion spell effects rolling in and rolling out. It's really cool. So they did one, I want to say, sorry about that. They did one a month ago, but then like the one before that was much further back. So it must take a while, But I don't know if Carrie Wee or anyone who knows Carrie Wee listens to our podcast, but tell them that we appreciate what they do. That was super cool. Everyone should check that out.
So is it, does the channel have a specific name, or is that the
Carrie
that the
Wee?
Name? Okay. How do you spell that again?
K-A-R-I-W-H-E-E. All right. Arthur, before I roll this into a quickie judges corner, do you have a top five for us tonight?
Nope.
Okay. If you are spending any time on the Privateer Press community forum, they have, and I don't want to say finally like they've been promising it, but they have an FAQ. All of the decisions made by Infernal since Mark IV dropped have been collected into one thread. And oh my gosh, I'm so grateful they did that. Just all of it there, something where an Infernal has either ruled or an Infernal has locked a thread has been put there. And it just, you know, you go into the search and under the rules tag, you look up War Machine FAQ, and then, you know, there it is. I tried to pin it, like they had that little pin function, but for some reason it doesn't work on my computer. I wish it did. So I got to go searching for it every time. Now, the only problem with a FAQ is once you make it, you got to update it. So I'm really hoping they keep it updated. So, for example, they have some they have some rulings on there that are kind of superfluous because they were all changed officially in the January update. So it's like, I don't know, maybe you should pull those out. But I'm grateful they did it, so I don't want to complain too much, right? So check those out. Now, in terms of official Judges Corner stuff, two interesting things came up, and I wasn't judging, so I had to hear them secondhand, right? So I just got to kind of throw that out there. But they both revolve around slam and knockdown. And basically what it comes down to is that you don't figure out if something's standing up or knocked down until that slam or throw, until that movement is done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you got to wait until that movement is done, and then you figure out, is the model base-to-base with something saying it can't be knocked down? You know, otherwise, all of those rules apply.
Right. And so, like, for example, if you were to slam one of Athena's heavies over Athena, and because Athena has a rule as battle formation, which is +2 armor and cannot be knocked down while base to base with battle group models. So the Jack slams into her, it hits her, it will pass through her because she's a smaller base. She will not be knocked down because while she, you know, when she is impacted by the slammed model, she is touching a battle group model, right? So you slammed one of her warjacks through her. But if that warjack goes completely past her, then the warjack will be knocked down because it lands and it's no longer face to face with her.
Gotcha. Yeah. So then the other thing that came up was in one of Jake's games, he was playing Scorn and he has a siege battery on the Mammoth. And there was a little discussion about, well, when the models are thrown from the full battery fire special attack, when does that throw happen? And the opponent was incorrectly arguing that, well, you know, if the attack resolves, the model's dead, it's not being thrown. And it was, again, the same mistake I made, right? You have to just read the rule. And the throw is on the hit.
Right.
Right. So on the hit, the model is thrown. And then that model is thrown, and that model could hit something, which is why you resolve the throw first.
Yep.
And then that also brings me back to the, excuse me. That brings me back to something I'd said much earlier in the year, which was timing chart, right? If you look at the timing chart, you're going to get a lot of answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I get why people don't like the timing chart, because there's some things on there that are just very minuscule, pedantic, maybe is a better word for it. Like, you know, look for an effect, add effects that add dice, effects that take away dice. And it's like, yeah, that's all really obvious. But after you get through that obvious stuff is when you get to when the order in which things happen. So please use your timing chart and please read through everything. All right. So we have done our very short Judge's Corner. We've talked about some fluff. We've talked about some new models. We've talked about the brawl. We've said people should be buying tickets to Nova if they want good things to happen at Nova. We haven't said everyone have a great time at Adepticon. If you're going to Adepticon, hope you're doing some cool War Machine stuff there. But is there anything else on our plate tonight, gentlemen?
I don't believe so.
Okay. So that brings us to some closing thoughts. Arthur, you didn't have a top five list for us, but do you have a closing thought?
Nope.
Outstanding. Mr. Rabideau, any closing thoughts for you?
Not really. Not really, honestly. I feel like I usually say that and then say something else, which is what I'm going to do now. I'm just so excited to see the because I don't think we've recorded since we opened the ticket sales, right?
No, we haven't.
It's been, almost a month.
We've been really busy.
I'm so excited and so gratified to see people coming to the Boca Brawl and like really enjoying it and being excited for it. And it's selling out so fast, part of it. To be clear, there are still tickets available.
Still lots of great stuff to do. Don't stay away. Please come.
Yeah. It is not fully sold out, but you know, having sold out the big base brawl, having sold out and then had to, you know, increase the number of teams. It's very exciting. Very exciting.
Yeah.
So thank you, I guess. Thank you to everybody out there that, whoever's listening that signed up and everything.
All right. Well, this is Seth Cohen saying that if someone's going to drive you 3.5 hours to Albany to play some games, that you buy that guy dinner, even if he drives 45 miles an hour on the way home because it was raining.